And is Ann going to do that? Yes. Okay.
All right. If you would please announce your name when I announce the jurisdiction. County of San Mateo.
Dave Pine.
Carol Brew. Thank you. Town of Atherton.
Rick DeGolia.
City of Belmont. City of Brisbane. City of Burlingame.
Sigal Michael.
Town of Colma. City of Daly City.
Glenn Sylvester.
City of East Palo Alto.
Carlos Romero.
City of Foster City. City of Half Moon Bay.
Harvey Warman.
Town of Millsboro.
Larry May.
City of Menlo Park. City of Millbrae.
Henley.
City of Pacifica.
John Keenan.
Town of Portola Valley.
Jeff House.
City of Redwood City.
Ian Van.
City of San Bruno.
Marty Medina.
City of San Carlos.
Cameron Johnson.
City of San Mateo. City of South San Francisco.
City of Woodside.
Town of Woodside. We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Ann. So we'll begin with public comment on any matter that is not on the agenda this evening. We have a relatively small public audience tonight, but do any of you have comments for the board? All right. Well, seeing none, then we'll can take an action to set the agenda and approve the consent items. The consent items are simply the meetings and two power agreements for resource adequacy.
Chair, may I make a comment?
Yes.
I would like to discuss a little bit more item 12 on RA.
Okay, why don't we take that off then?
I make a motion to approve item 11.
And otherwise set the agenda. So a motion by...
Second.
Okay.
Who made the motion?
Oh, second. The motion by Wayne and second by Carlos to approve the agenda, but we're pulling item 12. Why don't we just go ahead and talk about item 12 now while it's fresh on our mind? Oh, excuse me, my apologies. Yes, if we could, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Okay, so that is passed. So let's go ahead and take your input or questions about 12, pretty.
Thank you very much. A couple of things. One is that resource adequacy, or RA, is going to be with us forever in PCE. That's a requirement from PUC. And Kaiso, the way I understand RA is a part of resource that we have to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
However, the source of fuel source of those RAs is still not clear or has not been made by policy clear whether it is clean energy or not, because except it says it won't be coal-produced RA, but it could be oil, it could be gas, it could be anything else. And part of the reason is that RA is a special kind of resource which has certain amount of surety of providing electricity at any point in time, on demand, no matter what is happening. That's why many of the renewable resources don't fall under that category. But on the other hand, there might be some better RA resources than others as far as PCE emission is concerned. So that was my first comment. Second one was, I'd like to have overall idea about our RA contracting in terms of multiple contracts, or is it a single contract, and how we are planning to have RAs continued in the future. Is it better to have short one-year RA contracts versus longer-term RA contract? And also, when we are doing contracting on energy, those energies are coming from some capacity, and they have capacity value which we may not be buying. But the question is, do we look at that possibility of buying RA from our own resources, our own energy providers? So those are some of the questions. I don't think that I'll get all the answers today, but somewhere along the line, I would like to discuss that issue later on. And I'll be very happy to approve
okay. The
consent calendar item. And I will make a motion to do that.
All right. But Jan, I'm sure you can at least give some initial feedback to Pradeep on his increase.
Thank you, Pradeep. Were you here at the last meeting?
No, I missed it.
Okay, because we had a long discussion, presentation from Siobhan on RA. So I'm going to turn this over to Siobhan because she negotiated this contract so she can speak to it.
So as far as contract length and how long we should be contracting for, we don't know our allocations until pretty late in the game. So there's a requirement that we procure year ahead RA and demonstrate we've procured a certain amount by October, but we don't get our initial allocations and requirements until July of 2017. And then we don't get our final allocations till September. So
those allocations come to us from?
They come from CPUC, from CAISO, determines the total amount of RA for the state, and then CPUC will divide it up among the LSEs. So that we could procure a certain amount, but we wouldn't be able to know the exact amount. And then there's different types of RA that we need to procure from different areas. Bay Area is sort of the most restrictive, and then there's PG&E other, and then North System. So we will have to almost probably always have multiple contracts for procuring RA to satisfy that. We do get some RA value from our renewable projects. It's smaller than, but we do count that as part of our requirements. In the future, storage could provide some RA, but it's going to be more expensive than what we have right now. And what we've, some of the feedback we've received from consultants that are more experienced in this is that because the RA market can change and requirements can change, it could be risky to sign multiple year RA contracts if we don't know how the CPUC and CAISO are going to regulate that market.
Thank you. There was one other comment, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
Some of us from the board have met some people who are looking at firming up our photovoltaic or wind energy into capacity values by using some kind of controls, which are pretty significant. Now, that might bring some of the RA values to those contracts, to those renewable resources. So I would like to keep that in mind, that when we evaluate those technologies, we should give credit to the RA values of those attacks. Thank you.
Pradeep, Joe Weedman. I just wanted to follow up on one point that Siobhan made, which is that recently there was discussions at the PUC to require multi-year RA, and the commission rejected that idea generally because they found, one, they wanted to maintain flexibility to change requirements in the future, and they did not want people entering into multi-year RA without there being a discussion of capacity markets. So it's sort of wrapped up in a different ball of wax, but just to let you know.
Thank you very much.
Could you also speak briefly about the renewable or non-renewable nature of RA? I mean, we have the policy of not using...
Well, we have a policy coal. Of not using coal,
right.
And we put that in all of our contracts,
right.
Because we contract with a certain generator that's going to be providing it, but if for some reason that generator is not available, the counterparty has the option to substitute a different resource, and in all of our contracts we say you cannot replace it with a coal-based resource.
Okay. You made a motion then to approve...
Item
12. We called off, we pulled that one off. So, of course.
This is still an incredibly opaque concept for me. I'm going to, we'll say it here, I'm a little dense, I'm slow on the update. Forgive me. But I would like to have, and whether it's Pradeep or someone else in the future explaining this in some other concepts in a more profound way, I'd appreciate it, because I really I think I understand it, and then Joe says something, it's oh no, I don't understand it, because we're talking about something else. So I think it would be helpful certainly for some of us, but in particular for me, if I could get up to speed on this through some other tutoring process.
I'll be very happy to share whatever little I know about it.
Is that RA in particular?
Well, there are other items, but RA, right. When I was reading this, I thought I understood it. Then I talked to Pradeep. I didn't understand it. Then I heard what Joe said, and I said, oh, I really understand it.
Right. Well, I mean, as we all know, it's you know, we're involved in a very technical subject area, and we're, you know, we're trying it through the, in the board meetings to bring us all up to a certain base of knowledge. But, you know, I think we have to continuously think of opportunities for, you know, more advanced tutorials for those who desire to have them. So again, so we had a motion by Pradeep and a second by Larry May. And I, was there a public comment on this?
Hi, Mark Roost, Seaway Battery and volunteer with 350. Questions, what is the cost per megawatt and per megawatt hour for the RA that you're looking at already? How often is it used and when must it be ready? Because I'm looking to compare it to what batteries could do.
Should I respond?
Yeah, I would. I think maybe the most appropriate thing is maybe you could talk offline about it. We'll note your comments, and either Siobhan or Jan can close the loop with you. So we have the motion to second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? All right. Seeing none, that's approved. So we're now going to adjourn, or we're going to recess into a closed session to consider our CEO's goals for the next fiscal year. So if I could ask the audience to give us 15 or 20 minutes here. I don't think it should take too long. All right. So let's move it back to our regular agenda. Just a couple quick announcements that I have. I'm really looking forward to the solar eclipse on August 21st. So anyone has a, yeah, my son really wants to go to Portland, but we're going to be here. We'll hear more about the solar eclipse later in the meeting. Very excited that we'll be moving into our new facilities. And Jan will talk about that, I'm sure, during her report. But we will need to have a housewarming party, and our next board meeting will be at our new offices. So we'll let Jan tell us a little bit more about that. On Monday, there's going to be a meeting in the city that was inspired by a conversation that Rod Sinks from the Silicon Valley Clean Energy and I had to talk about, you know, getting board members more involved in advocacy efforts in Sacramento and the CPUC. So myself and Joe and we'll be there, and a couple other and other CCAs. Just to kind of talk broadly about how to better utilize board members who, there are a lot of board members now when you think about it, across all the CCAs in the Bay Area, and many of them have very good connections. So I will report back on that. And then finally, wanted to check in. Did everyone receive the email from the Foothill Taxpayers Association? Does that ring a bell?
No.
Okay. Well, there's a group in Southern California. It's called the Foothill Taxpayers Association. And their mission is to kind of stop the CCA in San Bernardino County. They're also apparently associated with the Agenda 21 conspiracy theory, for those of you who are familiar with that. But in any event, they've sent out this blast email to many, many city council members. So it's kind of interesting that you all, Ian did receive it.
I got it.
Glenn got it. And it's really nothing it doesn't amount to a lot in that they make, basically assert that the CCA model can't withstand PCIA and can't survive without RECs. Of course, we don't have RECs, and that our cities are under great financial risk because of CCA. So the letter is not very important from a substantive point of view, but was widely distributed. So we were inclined just to, we can send to each of you a response to it, and you can have that if you need to provide it to your council members. Sounds like maybe it's overkill to send it to every single council member. We were under the impression that maybe everyone had gotten it, but I don't get that sense.
Got lots of crazy emails.
Yeah, or it went into the crazy email spam file. All right. Well, why don't we, we'll send a communication to the board so that at least you have the context and the event. Any of your colleagues have also received it. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jan. That's it.
Okay. Few exciting things. So on our recruiting update, we're holding final interviews for the top candidates for the finance director, and hopefully we'll make a decision within a week or two. It's a little tough with people on vacation, including some of our candidates. But we have some very good candidates, and we can't go wrong with the choices we have. We recently closed the postings for three positions. One is a marketing associate. We received 93 resumes for this position. And then we're also hiring two outreach fellows that will be assisting Kirsten in reaching out to the communities and further educating people on what PCE is. And we received 62 resumes. So we will have a lot of great people to choose from, I'm sure. And we're looking forward to bringing on some more excellent people to the staff. And then on August 1st, next Tuesday, we are posting a position for regulatory analyst to help Joe, because he's got quite a list of issues going on at the PUC. And that position will be posted for a month. It'll close on August 31st. So if you're aware of people who might be interested in that, please let them know. And we'll let you know in our board newsletter and give you the links to all of those things. So next, we're moving on Monday. Yay. We have a beautiful space. We have chairs for everyone to sit in. We have desks for everyone. A lot of light. It's a beautiful place. Anne is going to be working her tail off tomorrow and Monday, packing everything up. We thought we didn't have a lot of stuff, but actually we have a lot of stuff. Especially in the kitchen. So we hope that we will have our board meeting in the space in August. So there is a nice space for the board. It'll be cozy, and I'm really hoping that you all like each other because we're going to have you sitting pretty close to each other. But you all over here are pretty close, so it'll be like that. But it'll be a nice space, and it'll be nice to be able to just be at home to have our board meetings. We are proposing to have the board retreat on September 23rd, that's a Saturday, and at our new home, and that would replace our September 28th board meeting. So if you can please mark that on your calendars. Hopefully this is enough warning for you to get that on your calendar. John?
Is there a time?
9 to 3 kind of thing. Where's our new home? 2075 Woodside Road. It's at the corner of Woodside Road and Alameda de las Pulgas in Redwood City, across the street from Woodside High School. Very easy exit. Be much closer for you, John. Get there from Pacifica. Close to Woodside. We might go have lunch in Woodside. One fun thing the staff has been doing, knowing that we're soon leaving downtown Redwood City, and we've really been enjoying downtown Redwood City, but every week, every Wednesday, we've been having a staff lunch and testing out a different restaurant in downtown Redwood City, and it's been really fun. So now we're going to have to walk a lot farther to the restaurants, but that's okay. And then Dave already talked to you about this Mountain View Taxpayers Association. So since all of you didn't get that, maybe what we'll do is just include in our newsletter that we send out tomorrow, we'll just include that there.
Good idea.
Okay.
And if you want to include a couple of responses.
Yeah, we can include the letter that was sent, and then we'll include our proposed response to it. Okay. So the integrated research plan is not on our agenda tonight, but I just wanted to talk about the schedule for this because we did go over this last month, and we're proposing a few changes on this, and if there's any comments or concerns about this, I wanted to bring it up tonight. So we're reviewing the IRP internally, and we're proposing that we discuss it with the ad hoc committee either sometime the week of August 7th or right after the executive committee on August 14th. So you'll be getting a doodle poll. Is that right, Anne? Anne will be sending out a doodle poll to the ad hoc committee about this. And then we're proposing not to bring it to the executive committee for discussion because it is a fairly technical document. We thought it made more sense to just bring it to the ad hoc committee. And then we would distribute a draft to the board and have a discussion next month at our board meeting just to kind of give you background on it. And then at the retreat, there's a strategic consultant that we are planning to bring on board. I can't name them yet because we haven't quite finished our negotiations to get a contract together with them, but they're well known in the energy industry. And then we would spend a significant amount of time at the board retreat going over the IRP and hopefully having approval.
Do we have a time and a location for the retreat?
The retreat will be at our offices, 2075 Woodside Road. And last time we had the retreat like from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., so we're figuring something like that. We'll have food, we'll have coffee, lots of coffee. So I just wanted to, if there's any reaction or concern about this IRP schedule, it's quite an extensive document, and you know, we do want to talk to you in August about kind of what the strategic policy issues are in our resource planning so that you can think about those and then maybe talk about those a bit more in September.
Jen, is it background? Is there a requirement by PUC or some other regulatory agency for us to follow a certain pattern or certain directives on IRP development, or is it basically our own invention?
This year it's our own. Next year there is an IRP proceeding going on at the Public Utilities Commission, and we're actively involved in that. So there will be something we'll have to do to meet their requirements next year.
And Jen, maybe I didn't hear clearly. Is the idea to approve it on the 24th, or would we approve it after the
Approve it at the retreat. And it, I mean, if there's still some open issues, we can move it to October.
Okay.
We just want to have sufficient time to get people comfortable with it. And yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's all I have. So I will turn it over to Dan and Kirsten for the marketing update. And as you may have noticed in your packet this week, you received a written update on the marketing activities and a written update on the legislative and regulatory activities. So we're going to try to shorten the presentation that we do here. And we've given you a lot of the data that we've gone over before. But now that we're not a startup anymore, you don't need all that stuff. You can read it. And we'll just go over the highlights.
All right. Hi, Dan Lieberman. So I limited myself to one slide, and here it is. All of the background information that I usually present, you know, city by city data, all of that's included in the memo. So this is just the big takeaway. We're almost completely at the end of enrollment. We are serving actually just over 290,000 customers. That number's just a little bit stale, so we're out of 300,000 total, so very, very much in full swing. Our opt-out rate is I've gotten fresher data since then. I think we're at 1.89%. That number was revised this week, but still below 2% opt-out rate. Our ECO 100 participation rate exceeded 4,000, which is a nice milestone. It's 1.3%, but we've gotten a big swing in non-residential accounts, so I think load-wise we're probably, you know, closer to 2%. We got the monthly opt update. We have new cities that opted up, 12 out of the 20 cities and the county now having municipal accounts served by ECO 100, which is great to have a majority now, and Belmont, Burlingame, and City of San Mateo are new since our last meeting, and I know there are other cities that we're actively engaged with that are considering opting up. So that's all great news. And just the next thing, immediate thing on the marketing front, in addition to the hiring and some other things that are happening, is something I mentioned last time, which is a snapshot by city. I did all the analysis. I have our designer working on it now. And so I'll be presenting to each city a snapshot of what how PCE is performing in terms of opt-ups, opt-outs, carbon avoided projection for the year, financial savings projection for the year, that sort of thing. So I'm happy to answer questions, and I'll turn it over to Kirsten. I'll circle around. Harvey?
Two quick ones, Dan.
Yeah.
I saw on Nextdoor somebody was saying that he followed your procedure for determining how much he was saving.
Mm-hmm.
And he concluded, and I haven't really followed up on it, that he was having to pay more. How could that be?
I mean, it would only be the case if they were in Eco 100 or doing the math wrong. Yeah, I'm happy to sit down with any customer and explain their bill personally.
The smart thing to do is send them.
Well, I mean, they can call in the call center. The call center would have the same access to their bill. But if you want the personal touch, you can send them to me.
Okay.
That's fine.
And you can add to that list come August, Half Moon Bay is going to
opt. All right. I like that. I like hearing that. Very good news. Very good news. All right, I saw some other hands, but everyone. Okay, Kirsten, you wanna do your one slide? We're limiting these to one.
Great, so again, for the full report, I usually do, please have a look at your memo. But first of all, keep up the good work for all the outreach that you and your staff have been doing in your cities, and here are some suggestions of ways to keep that up. I would encourage all the cities that have opted up, but just all the cities in general, to be loud and proud about that. We have window clings you can put up in your city facilities. I have some with me, but we're running out a little bit, so we're reprinting some in an updated design, and be happy to get those for you for all of your cities. And moving on, Dave Pine, with getting those in the county buildings as well.
Great.
And I also have them for the Eco Plus customers as well. Do continue to have a look at your Nextdoor feeds once in a while in case there's anything going on about Peninsula Clean Energy. And again, if you would like, if it gets to, if it gets technical, we're happy to provide good information on those. Continue to send us opportunities to present or table in your city. I had a very nice discussion this morning with the Daly City Partnership, which is a partnership of social services in Daly City. We're getting the message out that customers that enjoy discounts automatically continue getting those discounts. That's a very important message to get out. So I especially appreciate introductions to social services in your area where you think would like a presentation on that. Also continue to share the social media and talk up PCE at your council communications. And if you're doing National Night Out, feel free to pick up some PCE brochures, take them with you. And if you would like a staff person to come join you, we're happy to do that. Yes, right, yes. I have given Vicky a stack, yes.
Mm-hmm. The second thing is on the National Night Out, I know in Redwood City we're doing six of them.
They're
neighborhood-based. So mm-hmm. Our city clerk can provide those. If any of those are convenient, mm-hmm. I know one of them is in Addison Park, which is very close to the new building.
Ah.
I will be attending that one myself. We'll certainly talk up PCE.
Great.
Thank
you. Great. Well, I'll ask around. We have a couple of staff booked at a couple of things, but I'll ask around to see if there's a staff person available to do that because it will be very convenient for us. So thank you so much. Great. Thank you. Sure.
All right, Kirsten. Thank you so much. I'm looking at page 6 of the 55 pages, and I see an upcoming event, August 1st, for National Night Out with COMA.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's a ceremony mall, and that's supposed to
yes.
be in Daly City, not Homa. And Daly City PD will be there.
Right.
And then looking at, I mean, we get along with Homa very well. and then looking at the stats, I see Daly City is 42 times bigger in population and subscribed customers to PCE than Homa.
Yes.
So, you know, somebody else saw that, you know, they might be.
Yes. Well, thank you for pointing that out. I realize that as a typo is actually at Sarah Center instead of the Sarah Monte Mola. So I need to, I've updated that in my own calendar. But it is in the same area. And one reason I signed up to work that event is I know that will probably attract residents from Daly City and San Bruno and South San Francisco because they all kind of come together in that area. But if there are other events in Daly City, do let me know, because I will be done at that event by 6:30, and I can run off and do something else that night. So let me know if there's somewhere else I should go afterwards.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I want to thank you very much, you and Dan, for putting together the booth at the Kite Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Our office did, along with the park department. We had 500 people there, and I hope they all stopped at the table.
Yeah, I appreciated you stopping by. That was fun. I made a PCE kite.
Oh, wow. Pretty.
I wanted to add that I'm very pleased with the way the exposure of PCE has been made on various media, public media. But I thought one of the idea would be, since in October we'll be celebrating the first anniversary of PCE, mm-hmm. We could have some kind of press release for the to inform people. You know, there were a lot of skeptics, like could we have still electricity coming? So our homes when PCE starts. So I would like to have some kind of press release from PCE, especially that one year is over, and these are the things we have done in that 1 year. And that could become very prominent news item in the newspaper. Yeah.
Dan's working on it.
Good idea, Pradeep.
Great. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. So we're going to move on then to talk about the solar eclipse, right? Is that why we have these glasses? So we.
No, you're not advised to look at the sun with those glasses, even though they're called sunglasses. But maybe that's a misnomer. So I know Dan Lieberman again, by the way. I know some of you were aware of CPUC Commissioner Picker challenging the CCAs to take a more active role in some aspects of energy market, such as electric vehicles, and also addressing outreach around the eclipse that's coming up. And so we had been thinking about things to do, and also with our trade group, the CalCCA group was talking about things that we could do to meet that objective. And there's one item that we're proposing here that's a nice fit, which is called the One Thing for the Sun campaign. It's the solar eclipse, if you're not following that. It's happening on August 21st, and it'll be visible here in California in the morning. We're all good on energy supply. There's no issue with reliability. But there is a CPUC and CEC campaign that's encouraging awareness about the eclipse and encouraging customers to take some energy efficiency action, because when the sun isn't shining, that will prevent us from having to burn fossil fuel to make up for that imbalance, or I guess imbalance is the wrong word, but that delta, since we are losing, you know, a few thousand megawatts of solar generation during that time. So we can do this by becoming a partner. PG&E and some other entities you'd be familiar with are partners already. It's a pretty simple campaign. We can do some social media, put information out on our MailChimp email list and our website. And if you want more details, there's a website about this campaign And so there's no direct cost. We'd basically just make a commitment to the campaign that we'd promote this to our constituents, and then we'd get our logo up on their website, and I think the commissioner would appreciate it.
Any questions for Dan? I think this is a action item. So we could entertain a motion to join the program. Moved by Larry May, seconded by Carol Groom. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? All right, thank you, Dan.
All right.
Joe, tell us about Sacramento.
Well, I've been at the PUC mostly. So you all have a report from me in your board packet. So, and there is basically a very high-level summary of the comments that and rulemakings that we were involved in July. So I am here to answer any questions folks may have about what was written in the packet, or any questions they may have about what they see up there. Wayne, yeah. Oh, you mean the recent signing of cap and trade?
I was wondering if municipalities can or something, or there's a show of savings in greenhouse gas.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's something I am hoping to look into. When I originally worked on cap and trade implementation in my prior life, there was a pathway there called voluntary action. And so one of the talking points I've used extensively in my conversations with state elected officials is that CCAs are a prime form of voluntary action, actually, and need to be recognized as that. And we're not the problem, essentially, right? We're part of the solution. I don't know where voluntary action is at. My last work on it was about 8 years ago. My understanding from then is that it kind of got pushed off to the side because people didn't think it was going to be a big deal. But now that cap and trade is re-upped and things are starting up again, I really do want to look into it, because I think there's one, I think as part of our general message, it's important to let people know that we're well in advance of where the state wants to be. And two, to the extent there is voluntary action taking place, they need to unlock an opportunity for people to essentially participate in the cap and trade program with that. I'd have to do a lot more thinking about how that may occur or what's already occurred, but it's something on my radar, so I appreciate you bringing it up. Another aspect of cap and trade that's very intriguing is it'll have about $29 billion worth of funding available. So I'm keenly interested in getting engaged and finding out how that funding is going to be allocated. There's a fair portion of it that will go to disadvantaged communities and other sorts of low-income communities and things like that, but I think there's a role for PCE in that. Obviously, I think that would be something we would all have to discuss, but it's sort of just gotten passed and the rubber's not really hit the road yet, so I've not had, you know, a deep opportunity. Right. We could definitely explore that option. My understanding of the way cap and trade works is it basically would save us money, not necessarily allow us to take a credit and sell it to somebody else. It's because we're over complying. Basically, when other entities are under complying, we essentially see sort of it's more like we don't have to comply. We've already done it. But we can certainly explore, I think, any options that are going to be available under the new cap and trade system. Yeah.
Now that we're halfway through the year, looking at the next half of this year, what are the biggest one or two things that you're focused on from a CCA perspective? Is it PCIA?
PCIA is certainly front and center. Monday, we actually, that docket takes a little time to gin up after they throw the old one out, but we'll be filing comments on the scoping memo. I was going to report that next month, but we'll be filing comments on the scoping memo to shape the early stages of that docket, and I plan on being heavily involved in it from start to finish. The other docket that's really absorbed a lot of my time this week is we are filing testimony tomorrow in the the CCA bond methodology proceeding. You've probably seen me put that up there a couple times. The testimony's finally going to get filed. It's been quite a process. But that process will determine what our bonding requirement is. Currently set at $100,000, and we're proposing in our testimony something right around $100,000. It wouldn't change very much. I don't expect we'll land there. It's a process. But, you know, you put your stake in the ground, and you argue around it. So that process really is going to get underway tomorrow when we file that testimony. And those are the two big things right now in the immediate term. You know, from the legislative front, I'll just pause so we can finish this, but those are the two things that have really absorbed my time this month. And they're big. I mean, they're core to the business model. Oh, yeah.
Joe, first I would like to share with everybody that it's a huge progress on PCIA. There was a time only a little bit more than a year ago when PUC refused to think of PCIA as subject serious enough to be discussed, to review and refine or do anything about. But more or less, accepted standard that said, take it and leave it. During this time, with all the efforts of various inputs to PUC, I think you have been successful in creating a new docket for PCIA, a new approach to PCIA. And I think that's a great progress, great success, and you should celebrate it. Because let's see how the debate goes, but at least there's an opening of the debate. The second comment I wanted to make, I'm a little bit disappointed on CalCCA. And perhaps I'm not close to it, so I don't know. Jan, you might know more about it. But in IRP, we filed some comments, MCP filed a comment, and then there's a sentence that you put together that CalCCA was unable to sign on to our ideas in time to incorporate into CalCCA filing. What's holding it up?
Well, CalCCA is an organization of 8 very different CCAs. Some are not as nimble as we can be. They have sort of more bureaucracy. But we continue to work with them very productively, and I suspect over time, I mean, especially since it's still really just forming itself, it will become very effective. And we're working on that. We just held it's down at the bottom of my slide there. We held a meeting last Friday to discuss how we can continue to optimize regulatory processes to not necessarily speed things up, but keep things moving. Because sometimes they do sort of disappear into a rabbit hole at certain agencies, and, you know, we just need to stop that from happening. But you know, we have a good, solid working relationship. We basically look at CalCCA as the common denominator, right? I don't want to say least common denominator because I think we all do good work, but we look at them as sort of the collective, you know, what we can agree on together. And then I think there's opportunities, like we partnered with MCE to advance what we felt were not necessarily always telling the commission no. That can be an important conversation to have, but also here's what we want. Right. So one of the things, you know, you just brought up with the PCIA is, you know, we are giving a lot of collective thought to what our affirmative ask will be with the PCIA. Necessarily, we'll need information to order to inform that, but we are already engaging in what I consider to be sort of just general theoretical discussions about what we feel is possible, what we feel we're comfortable with proposing, and how we sort of do that as we wait to get into the docket to actually start getting the information we need to make informed decisions, not just sort of decisions based upon our collective knowledge of what we think may be possible. So, you know, we do anticipate in that docket, in my mind, being aggressive, positive, but, you know, really using it as a vehicle to tell our story and achieve our goals. So,
yeah, one other thing I'd like to add is CalCCA has hired an employee. So we brought on board a woman named Beth Vaughn, who used to be the executive director of the California Cogeneration Council. So she's very steeped in the energy industry. And the opening for CalCCA was for an operations director, which was going to be kind of more of an administrative type position. And because of her experience, I think she's going to really kind of fill the shoes of being an executive director. And that's going to help CalCCA a lot, because she's going to be able to herd the cats and make sure that we're effective. So we're very excited about her starting up.
Yeah, but my viewpoint was that this window, a few years from now and today, is the window where a lot of groundwork will be done on CCA movement on a larger scale, regulations, standards, rules, etc. And CalCCA has to take the role and obey the calendar as a minimum, in order to have at least a presence.
Yes.
Otherwise, all of us will be, all eight of us will be doing our own thing, and CalCCA will be following behind, which is not the idea.
Definitely. And Jan, I appreciate you bringing up the hiring of Beth. I think that was something essential to bring up. She's hit the ground running. She's very experienced in running trade associations. I'm very experienced in representing them. No, I'm not doing that, of course, in this capacity. I'm here to represent PCE. But we've had a lot of very positive conversations. She was at this meeting and brought up just an enormous number of good issues. And I think things are going to start moving much faster, much more smoothly, especially if I have any control over it. You're welcome. Yeah. Ian.
Asking them to consider opting up. It's like something you can do as a citizen. Very simple, just opt up to 100% and see if we can make this happen. Not necessarily mentioning the Paris Climate Agreement, but I just think that, you know, something about you can act locally to climate change.
Definitely. And, you know, one other comment, one of the topics that's not up here because we've not filed anything on it, but we're looking at low carbon fuel standard credits. Right now, those go to the utilities. And then folks who buy an EV get a rebate. But we are very interested in exploring the idea of those credits coming back to the people who actually supply the energy. You know, I mean, so it sort of does kind of get into the whole idea of restructuring cap and trade and all of these state programs now that there is basically a whole new body of procurement entities that are really, as I keep saying, where the rubber hits the road, then that's where you sort of spend your money, right? And we're very keenly interested in that, all of the staff, in finding ways to sort of take the state programs and leverage it, bring the money down into this region to, because of the actions we're already doing, how, you know, what we choose to do with that, I think we can all talk about, but it's absolutely critical.
Yeah.
It's an interesting point. But certainly, I mean, I think, you know, once again, like I haven't even read the legislation yet, but I think, yeah, we can definitely look into that. There's, in my mind, it all boils down to the people who are actually doing the work should be the people getting the benefit. And I think that's exactly what you're saying. So, you know, I think it makes sense. So my next slide. Sorry. So legislative activities, the number of bills that we worked on, again, those are all discussed in your packet, but I have them up there in case folks have questions about them or would like, you know, some more commentary. Things are going well for us at the legislature. Not like it seemed when I started in April. Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for your time.
Appreciate it. So our next item is an Audit and Finance Committee report. Carlos, can you go ahead and handle that one?
Donna is away on vacation with the family, well deserved. We met on the 17th. Larry was there, Donna was meeting. And we already discussed the one issue related to the hiring of the finance director. Previously, we read the resumes, there was a discussion back and forth. And again, Jan is going to go forward and check references and come up with her final decision. We did not in any way indicate we wanted X, Y, or Z. We narrowed down the field to 3 and 4. Secondly, we did receive or review 3 responses to a call for auditors for the organization. I think everyone agreed that 2 of the proposals were in the response to the back. So again, it's in the hands of the CEO to decide who to use. I think both of them are, well, one's a Sacramento one, and the other one's Santa Rosa, is that right? Santa Rosa. So, and they both had some experience with, have a lot of experience with our type of business, but they both had some. And the other issue that we discussed was developing a policy around retained earnings, including a reserve fund, an operating fund, capital expenditure needs, which we will be continuing to discuss because clearly we want to look at what other organizations have done, but also want to research more. So we assume that this is going to take a little longer, possibly a year.
Yeah, we'll need the new CFO to
yes, absolutely.
Obviously help drive that.
But we did decide to go forward with the audit firm without a new CFO. We wanted to have that person. Larry, you could answer something.
No, I think you covered it.
All right, we appreciate the update and all that work by the committee. Citizens Advisory Committee report, and congratulations, Michael Coulson, who's been elected to the chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee.
Good evening, Michael Coulson. We had our last meeting a week ago tonight, and that's the process which we anticipate continuing is meeting a week before this board meeting. And actually, we encourage people to board members to come to Citizen Advisory Committee meetings on occasion, because hopefully we'll be discussing some interesting topics that might be, that presumably will be then brought up to the board in later meetings. In terms of our first item of business, we had an election. I was elected chair, and Ted Howard, who's here, was elected vice chair. And we spent a large bulk of the meeting covering the Brown Act training, which is very important for us to all totally understand. And I think we've got that down pretty well, hopefully very well. We also then spent a big chunk of the meeting talking about outreach strategies and how we as Citizens Advisory Committee members can assist in promoting Peninsula Clean Energy and creative ways we can do that. And I think we all came up with some interesting ideas in that regard as well. And then lastly, we started to get into the whole question of talking about local programs. And the staff is in the process of developing some criteria to be used to assess ideas for local programs. And we just made a start at discussing some of those ideas for criteria and for goals. And presumably this is going to occupy our time for the next couple of meetings, is talking about this, including getting our Citizens Advisory Committee members up to speed on what local programs are and what the potential is. And hopefully we'll come out of that. There's some really good, talented people on our committee with some ideas that'll be helpful to the board and to the staff. And I think that's all that I have to say report right now. I think it went very well. I think we have an excellent committee, and hopefully we'll be able to make a real contribution to making PCE an outstanding operation. Thank you. Yes, Harvey.
Local permit, is that another word for general permit? I don't know what
local. No, local programs.
What is that?
Things like distributed generation or microgrids or, you know, any array of things that would happen. You know, once a surplus is built up, then a reserve, then you can start thinking about other things, other ways that energy can be reduced or more clean energy can be created.
So local on a community?
Yeah, in our service area, in our service area. Yeah.
I appreciate the report, and I think that the board is thrilled that we've pulled together such a great Citizen Advisory Council. And Michael and Ted, thank you for taking the leadership of that. You've both been involved in our efforts from the very, very start. So great to have you in those positions. So we can conclude, unless there's any board member updates or reports.
A few meetings ago, we had a member of the public say something. I think it was the engineer right here. And I think it's something that we should be aware of. In 2 days, Tesla will be releasing its first 30 units out of 400,000 that has been ordered, where folks put their money down, sight unseen. And as we move towards EVs, I think it's something that marketing and outreach should be aware of. And I think we're going to have a paradigm shift in the folks and the vehicles that they drive. So just want to bring out awareness. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the first one on the road. I think it's going to be at Fremont. Well, I did order mine a year and a half ago.
There is at least one board member who I understand has an order in, but it's not me. But there is your point is well taken.
Yes, sir.
The Bay Area has always been on the forefront of EV, and I'm really struck by that when I spent some time back in Massachusetts, New Hampshire. You just don't see the EVs the way you do out here. It's really striking.
Wow.
Really striking. So, yeah, in another year or two, going to be very prevalent. All right, any other final comments? All right, seeing none, we'll adjourn. Thank you very much for attending tonight.
Good job. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.